is going on out there, friends, and thanks again so much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives. It's me. It's your boy. It's Uncle Ham. It's Cam Hell. And joining me, as always, is the Lemon Starburst in my package, Mr. Kyle Fils.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here at Skeleton Studios. Arrived a little late. I've been running behind all day. It's one of those days. Mary called me a few minutes ago and was like, are you coming today? You guys are supposed to record. I'm like, yeah, I'm on my way. On my way. Sorry. You know, it's just one of those days where you're like constantly trying to catch up. But I'm here. I'm excited. I saw that Alien 1 was on in the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. That's one of my all-time favorite movies. No joke. Like, it's like Coming to America. When it comes on, no matter what part, I watch the rest of it.
I love it. Yeah. I love the first, the one and two.
One and two are amazing.
I don't mind. It's not like I dislike the others, but just one and two are my favorite.
I'm with you. The other ones aren't the best, but like, it kind of got too much with me. I really enjoyed Prometheus and stuff
like
that.
Oh, yeah.
And the way it tied
in. Covenant.
And Covenant, yeah, that was really cool. I need to find some STL files on Xenomorphs Luke's bookcase, as well as the Predator ones.
I bet
they've talked about it, and I just forgot to look because I'm a dummy. You know how that goes? Speaking of how it goes, I know if you guys have been following me on Instagram, you saw the recent post. We went hunting last weekend, me and Cam. Yeah. See, that's the thing you didn't see in the photo. Cam's not in the photos, but he was there.
I was present.
Not just in spirit. He was physically there. He wasn't in the deer stand with us, but he was there at the camp. And my cousin has a bunch of land, and he invited us up. We weren't doing nothing. It worked out perfectly. I don't remember what my wife and them were doing. They had something. Oh, they had a birthday party. That's what it was. One of her cousin's kids had a birthday, and she's around Luke's age, so they went over there. You know, it's a kid thing.
Yeah.
We got the invite, went out there, and Caleb got to shoot his first hog.
Schwein.
So very cool. We had a great time.
I think it got cooked the very next day.
Yeah, I think so.
Some other guys out there that showed up taking pigs, they all took them and loaded them and took off with them. So I'm pretty sure those things went full-bodied on their smokers the way they were talking when they left.
Yeah, and so he was very excited. I know in the photographs, nobody's smiling. He'd kind of mean mug it. You got to look tough, right, when you shoot something.
Well, especially when you're 14.
Right. I mean, it's part of the course.
180-pounder. That ain't bad.
Not bad. That's about average size. So since the posting of that on Instagram, not on Instagram directly, but I've gotten lots of emails, and I've been getting emails for, oh, man.
You on pro staffs now? Is that what it is? You've been reached out for pro staffing and all this?
Yeah, I'm sponsored by Sitka. No. Yeah. No, what it is people from around the U.S. and around the world that are generally interested in the feral hog problem in Texas because they generally don't know.
Yeah.
So lots of people, and this has been going on for years, they're just interested in it. And I think that it just doesn't seem like a big deal to us because they've just kind of always been around.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that there are people from over across the pond in the UK and things like that reach out, and people from Australia and other places as well, but mostly those places that are just generally interested in, like, how do you find them? How do you shoot them? How do you hunt them? What do they like to eat? Are they really truly everywhere? Mm-hmm. Is it really even? I mean, I've had people that like weren't even super hunters. I was like, listen, I've heard that it's a problem. Can you explain to me how are they a problem? And then of course you get into it, you know, I mean, they just truly don't know.
Well, and it's like, even like the folks in Australia have dealt with pigs and all that stuff. Like, they're a nuisance over there.
Cats.
Oh yeah. Cats over there. It's funny. It's what it is. It's like the pigs just really have no natural enemies once they get to a certain size.
Yeah, no.
And so they just got carte blanche to do whatever they want whenever they feel like it.
And they can have like 3 litters a year.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy.
And their litters can go from like 4 to 12 piglets. I mean, and I think they can start having their own once they reach like 6 months. I mean, it's insane.
I remember as a kid when we would bow hunt them, I remember the first few times that I'd ever, because when we were young kids, they weren't around here.
Not here.
They hadn't made it this far up.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, of course, they're all around us, but I remember going the first time when I was a young man, teenager, going to bow hunt them. And the very first time one came in, you know, and you're just like, what? And I always think about that. I know this is a weird way to get to it, but I always think about that feeling of if someone spotted something in the woods they can't explain.
Right. Right?
Because the very first time you see something, like the very first time when I was hunting and when I went elk hunting and I had an elk within range, I remember like, it shook me, right? Same thing when we went pronghorn hunting. Like, it's one of those deals that first time you get that interaction, it's overwhelming and you're not used to seeing it. And I think it's the same thing could be said for cryptids or anything crazy along those lines. So it's always one of those deals that, yeah, but it was a good time. He made a great shot on it. Everything was good. And I think we got him hooked. So I'm sure we're going to take him some more.
He's super pumped. He's already been asking about the next time. And I'm like, okay, like they're here all the time. We got the summer heads just about to kick off. So we got more time. But speaking of kicking off, let's kick off some stories. Check this one out. It says, hey guys, I love the podcast. I've been listening for a while and I've been meaning to write in.
Thanks so much.
For some reason, I've had quite a plethora of paranormal experiences throughout my life. I don't know why, but I tend to attract the bizarre, which is something that used to terrify and practically torture me as a kid. Now I see it as a curious sort of entertainment and an awe-inspiring validation that there's a lot we don't understand in this world. I'm writing because you guys asked for glowing orb stories. There have been a few times where I've seen orbs very suddenly and quickly, but two particular occasions stand out to me and feel worth telling. After typing them both out, I realize they're too long, so I'm just including one in this email. This experience happened in 2013, when I was in my 20s. I was backpacking through Southeast Asia and had settled in Bangkok for almost a month before I got the itchy feet again, wanting to visit somewhere new. Unsure of where to go next, I decided to look up any approaching festivals that might be worth visiting. That is how I found out about the Naga Fireball Festival along the Mekong River. Now, according to the beliefs in Thailand, Naga is a giant divine freshwater snake and the very essence of heaven and earth, which has a great significance in the Thai Buddhist culture. Locals believe that the Naga, living in the Mekong River, spits fireballs into the air on the full moon night of the 11th lunar month at the end of Buddhist Lent. Now, naturally, this legend intrigued me. Apparently, the fireballs have been reportedly seen other nights around the same time, too, and they appear frequently enough to grab the attention of some researchers, who have also claimed to have seen them. This festival happened to be only a month away from me, so I decided to travel to Nong Khai to see if I could see them for myself. I did not regret this decision. Mysterious Mekong lights or not, the festival alone was one of the most beautiful and amazing experiences in my life. Being just about a whole month early, I ended up befriending the owner of Mut Me, the guest house I stayed in at Nong Khai. They invited me on their river cruise they take every year, to go down the river to some of the best places to celebrate the festival. One of the most noteworthy aspects of the festival is the releasing of thousands of paper lanterns into the sky. In the dark, it was easy to tell where towns and villages were along the river by watching the giant plumes of lanterns rising up all along the Mekong. This is the sort of magical, beautiful sights that cannot be properly captured on film or video, and I always fail to describe the experience to others. Now parked on the shore and enjoying some delicious food, my new friends and I started hearing gasps from the crowds of people around us. Looking up, we watched as two fireballs burst into the sky from across the Mekong. While most everyone around me seemed to be excited, I myself felt fairly disappointed. These lights, they didn't seem like such a mystery to me. They looked like regular old flares. What's more, they seemed to clearly be coming from the shore across the river in Laos. A little disappointed but enjoying the festivities anyways, we settled down and watched as more flares burst into the sky from across us. Maybe it was pure luck, or maybe it was whatever it is that causes me to experience paranormal things a lot, but not long after the lights started, I decided to look upriver, opposite from where the crowd was watching the lights downriver from us. One of my new friends saw me turn my head and followed my gaze. From what was clearly somewhere in the middle of the river, we both watched a truly mysterious ball of light come up out of the river and disappear maybe 10 to 20 feet above the water. We both jumped up excited, clearly having seen the same thing at the same time. That light that we saw was definitely not a flare. Although still shooting up into the air, it traveled much slower than a flare does. The light was round in shape, about the size of a large grapefruit, perhaps even larger. It was hard to tell the distance at night. It was a different shade of red-orange than the other flares being shot out of Laos that night, and it was not near as bright. We could see no boats or swimmers in the direction of where we saw the light emerge from the water. We both agreed that what we had seen was the real mysterious Mekong fireball. Some scientists speculate that the Naga fireballs are some sort of buildup of natural gases, and they get released into the air from the water. To me, that explanation seems a bit of a reach. The water is cold. How do they light up or catch on fire? The Mekong isn't known for being particularly grassy. Gassy. More importantly, why are these lights only seen around the same night once a year? Whatever the case, I'm glad to have witnessed it myself. Thanks for hearing my story, and thank you for your podcast. I hope you get lucky like I did when you go on your search for the lights in Texas. Take care, Sarah.
That's awesome.
Very cool story.
Yeah.
Now, the only Naga I'm aware of are the jiu-jitsu tournaments
here. Yeah.
You get the swords, right, when you win?
And the Mekong fireball.
Yeah, fireball.
Man, oh, man, that needs to be. There's got to be a Muay Thai fighter out there. There's something. It's got to be the Mekong fireball.
You know,
that's a great fight.
I would love to go to Thailand.
I would too.
I think it'd be really cool. Of course, I'd have to check out some Muay Thai fights.
That's the main reason I would go, is I want to go sit and watch it.
I like Thai food, though.
Yeah,
so that's true. Think I would enjoy that.
Phuket. I've got to go and check it all out.
I would like to look at a lot of the structures there and just realize how old it is. I don't know. Just a very cool culture.
Would you go to Tiger Shulman's while you're there?
Oh, sure. Yeah, why not, right?
Right. I mean, I'm not going to participate, but I would love to watch.
You know what I mean? But there's other places, like China, I hope to never go. But Thailand, I would like to go to Thailand.
There's part of China I would love to go to.
The Great Wall, maybe?
I would like to see that.
Okay, let me rephrase it. I would like to see the steppe, just so I could gaze out there and think about what Temujin was thinking back then. And I'd like to...
The history of it.
I like falconry. Now, I know it takes a lot of work, but I do like the idea of being able to hunt with your own falcon would be cool.
That is pretty dope.
I don't want to take the 15-year commitment it takes to teach the bird, you know?
Yeah. I wish I'd have known about falconry when I was like a kid. I might have been to something I'd really gotten into.
It's pretty cool, but I think we're on the precipice of like robot falcons, where it's basically like a DJI drone, but it's a robot falcon, and you can do the same thing, but you don't have to spend all the time training it.
That's true.
Or feeding it.
Jeez, here we go. So I've got something I have to share with everyone because it gets everybody going, right?
Yeah.
There's action figures that we've got whipped up out of it, right? Charlie made us amazing action figures. Folks, I have another story of a not deer. So get a load of this. It took place in Sleepy Hollow, New York. Says we have all types of crazy things here. The Headless Horseman is not one of them. But there's ghosts and demons and aliens, and every summer you see ghost hunters here, but never in the winter, until last year. We were playing paintball in the wintertime, a group of 10 players. We played for an hour before we ran out of paintballs and retreated to the rock bridge to build a fire, like we usually do. My brother George and I heard something to the right, and because there are leaves on the trees and there's snow on the ground, the moon was bright and it illuminated this deer. Now, it wasn't a normal looking deer. See, it had no tail and the eyes were too far apart. And it also had an awful stench, like death. I told my brother not to make a sound. Now, George is not one for ghosts and didn't believe in fairy tales, but when he saw this, he was beside himself. Before we could turn around, it saw us and screamed at us. The rest of the crew heard it and wondered why we were freaking out. We ran past them yelling, "Let's go, let's go!" They saw what we saw, and then they took off with us. This thing was super fast. The exit was a good mile run on the aqueduct trail. It took us 10 minutes to get back to the road. We see the light on the road coming as we're getting close, but this thing was right behind us, screaming. We get to the light on the road and it stopped. It's looking at us, screaming. The neighbors came out cussing at us for all the noise and that she'd called the cops. Then she saw what we saw and ran inside screaming. As the cops show up, this thing took off. But my brother and I took a picture of this thing. We got some great shots and we showed them the pictures. I guess the police, we showed them this thing and they told us not to come out here at night. So long story short, we never talk about this and I don't like talking about it now. My cousin is a cop here in town, and he was one of the cops that responded that night, and he still, until this day, is scared to drive up there in the dark. So yes, things you can't explain are real. Come to Sleepy Hollow, New York. You never know what you just might see here. SD. So there is an unsettling not deer story that sounds like people around the area are aware of, but are not going to dabble with. And speaking of aware of, that you don't want to mess with, folks, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to be talking about stories involving the Mothman and the O'Hare Airport. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Here we go. As I alluded to before jumping into this, I want to discuss some of the Mothman encounters or sightings or things that have happened, but not just up in the Chicago area, more specifically at or around the O'Hare Airport. I find it odd that there's so many of these flying humanoids and things spotted and dealt with and UFOs and whatnot around the airport and dealing with airport employees. That there's not just like, it's not just one, right? You can understand, but there's multiples that have spoken about this and have submitted stories and encounters that they have had. Now, if you've been with us for any amount of time, you know that we've discussed this. We've had Lon on from Phantoms and Monsters, and we're going to get him on again to discuss this very thing. But we had gone through all this of from the old stories of the Mothman in Point Pleasant, to the more current flying humanoid sightings, all the way until this. All right. Now, this flap, I guess, is what we like to call it, which what would be a flap? You know, I don't understand. Is it a 10-year mark, a 5-year mark, a 2-year, 2-month? What's this flap? Because now it seems to be more of this is the norm. A lot of these sightings you can roll back that Lon started getting in and Manuel from Navarette, those guys started taking these stories in. A lot of these that started happening in and around the Chicago area started back in 2011, about midsummer, mid to late summer, August, somewhere around in there, September. They started receiving reports of people seeing the flying humanoid that resembled Mothman. And some of you will recall my niece at one point was a flight attendant. She lived in Chicago, and I had asked her about that stuff all the time. And she had never, just the way it is talking, but I believe she had heard some of it. And I've even talked to her recently about some of it. And I'm going to have to get her to ask some of her friends that still live there if there's any talk of anything going on. So this has been something that we've kind of, looked into and kept up with, but not to the extent like I'm constantly keeping up with it. There's so much going on, and it's almost become commonplace. Like, you expect there to be sightings that come from up there, yet we don't have any answers, right? We have pictures, we have videos, there's things that they show. Now, granted, I have seen the videos where it looks like someone is taking, I guess it's foam or balsa wood, something extremely light, mounted and made a drone to where it looks like a life-size man in a cape flying and flew it, and it looks awesome. And so I know that this could explain some of these sightings, maybe if it was things flying over, maybe it's someone doing this. But you would think if that was the deal, you would think that they would have come forward by now. You would think someone would have seen them flying it. All the things that people do, all the silly stuff that people do now, and it's the way it's caught and recorded, you would believe that if this was a thing, that after almost 10 years, 11 years of these things happening, that we would have gotten to the bottom of it if that explained every sighting. But it doesn't. It doesn't explain every sighting because there are some strange interactions. I'm going to take you back to one of the first stories that caught my attention. This happened all the way back in 2011, September 30th. It says, in the area around Miller Park in the University Park neighborhood in Chicago, Illinois, approximately one block from the main campus of the University of Illinois at Chicago, things began like any normal Friday night. I and a couple of friends were going out to have a few drinks at a local bar. As I got to my apartment, I jumped in the shower to start getting ready while my roommate went to her room to get ready. I finished and walked out of the bathroom and to my room and started getting ready to head out for the night. As I started to get dressed, I heard my roommate scream loudly. I dropped what I was doing and ran to her room to see if she was all right. I walked in to see her cowering in the corner of her room, white as a ghost and shaking. She was babbling hysterically, saying that something was looking in at her from the window. Well, I looked toward the window and didn't see anything but the light coming from the other apartments across the courtyard. I asked what she had seen and tried to tell her that she might have been mistaken. We live on the third floor of a 5-story apartment building, and there's nothing outside of the window but a 30-foot drop straight down to the courtyard below. My roommate was hysterical and scared out of her mind. I took her to the living room and we set her on the couch. I then went to my room to put on a robe or a nightshirt, since I was just in my underwear. My roommate didn't want to be left alone and actually followed me to my room, waited there as I put on my robe and joined her in the living room. After about 20 minutes of calming her down, she finally told me what she had seen in her window. She stated that she was getting dressed, and when she turned to face the mirror on her dresser, she saw a pair of orange eyes staring at her from the window. She turned around to see two brightly lit orange eyes staring out at her. These eyes were attached to a creature that was staring back at her through the window. My friend lost it and started screaming hysterically and backed herself into the corner. She said that she was filled with this overwhelming feeling of complete and total terror. She felt like the creature was looking at her as though she were prey. She said she felt like a rabbit that was about to be pounced upon by an eagle. I tried to rationalize with her what she had seen, telling her it could have just been an optical illusion, or maybe it was the jitters from a week of hard studying. She dismissed everything, saying that she had seen what she had seen. And as I sat there comforting her, my cell phone rang from my room. I got up, ran to my room, and snatched it from my dresser top and answered it. It was my boyfriend and one of his buddies, and they were talking about a mile a minute. It sounded like they were out of breath. As I tried to get him to slow down, I walked past my roommate's open door, and to my absolute horror, I saw a pair of glowing red eyes. They were looking through the window right at me. They stared at me for about 3 or 4 seconds before just abruptly left. Like my friend, I totally lost it. I screamed at the top of my lungs and sprinted to the living room. My boyfriend was now screaming into the phone, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" With 2 minutes, he and his best friend were pounding on the door to our apartment, followed shortly thereafter by one of our neighbors who had heard us screaming. And once we assured the neighbors that we were fine and that they did not have to call the CPD for us, we shut the door and I immediately lost it when my boyfriend held me. We told him what my roommate had seen in the window and what that was, and whatever it was had come back. That's when I guess I had seen it. He then began to tell us that he and his buddy were on their way to our apartment to pick us up when they had seen what they described as a large bat with large glowing eyes, and that it was perched on top of a basketball hoop in the neighborhood park. They stated that it saw them and had took off into the air with an audible whoosh. He states that there was about 6 people in the park and that all of them had seen it when it had taken off. He said that there was no way anyone could have missed it. It was about 6 to 7 feet tall, dark gray to black, and those eyes glowed with the intensity of 2 glowing embers. He said that they saw it easily when it took off and headed away from the park due to both the lights of the city as well as the nearly full moon that night. They lost sight of the creature after about 5 seconds, and that's when he picked up the phone and called me. He says that when they heard me start screaming, they sprinted the block and a half to the apartment. And needless to say, none of us went out that night, and my boyfriend and his buddy stayed with us through the weekend. My roommate refused to go back to her room till it was well after daylight. She closed and locked the window and drew the blind shut. She says that it's the only way that she felt safe and secure enough to be in there after dark. I'm still weary about coming home or going out after dark, even though I know I have to do it for both school and work. I hope that whatever it was sufficiently scared off by 2 insanely screaming college students, and that I hope that I never see it again. I don't think that neither I nor my roommate will ever be the same after this. There is one interesting fact. My boyfriend told me when I saw him on Tuesday that a few students around the campus had been talking about a large bat that some people had seen on Friday night. A lot of the people who spoke about it were spooked by it. I never figured that anything like this would or could be seen in a city as large as Chicago or on the campus as busy and bustling as UIC. It totally makes me wonder what it truly was and if it meant us any harm. So folks, that's one of the very first ones we covered. And it's one of the very first stories that kind of got the ball rolling on these humanoid, mothman, glowing-eyed moth creature sightings all up through Chicago. But like I said, I want to zone in on the airport. What is attracting it to the airport? Now, we've all seen all of the stories of, well, if you haven't, you can go on YouTube, but it used to be a real big deal when I was a young man. They were talking about planes were being downed by birds, right? And they had the cannon that shot the chicken or whatever it was, the frozen chicken or however it was. They would shoot into windshields over here and build in the airplanes in Fort Worth. And all of these things were going on. So it was an ongoing deal, and it had even been used in movies and whatnot. So you know that birds or anything flying has always got eyes on it when it's around an airport, right? That's their airport. They've got all of these radars up and all of these things. So you could only imagine also that if something of this size, 6 to 7 foot, that's going to draw attention. If it's got a larger wingspan, you'd have to say, what are we going to guess? Over double its size, right? So we're going to say close to 20 foot on the wings, maybe? Like, I don't know. I'm just guessing, right? I'm not a mothmanologist. Is that a thing? It is now. So I have no idea, but why would they be moving, and of course, unless they're taking vacation, why would they be flying? Why would there be so much activity around the airport? So sort of these airport personnel reports started coming out that I'm going to share with you. The first one reads, "My name is Redacted, and I am 34 years old, and I live in Elk Grove Village, Illinois. I work at O'Hare International Airport for Redacted, where I'm a member of the ground crew. I have worked for Redacted." Well, that's popular, right? "For the last 8 years, and I've seen a lot of strange things in my time there. I've also heard from others of these strange things that are seen and heard at O'Hare at all hours of the day and night. Anyone who has worked in and around the cargo facility for more than a few months has seen the strange lights in the sky or have seen anything from ghosts to strange creatures of all manners at least once. The entire airport itself is spooky, with many strange tunnels that are sealed off and forbidden to even go near to strange military vehicles that come and go at all hours of the day and night. There's even an old graveyard on the airport ground. I have seen my fair share of things. I've seen a lot of UFOs in the air above the airport, strange creatures that seem to hang around the airport, including the one they call the Mothman. These sightings mostly occur toward the evening and at night. I work second shift, so I get out later in the evening and have seen many of these strange lights after 10 or 11 p.m. There's one object dubbed the Diamond Craft. It's a large diamond-shaped light that frequently appears in the sky around the perimeter of the airport on some evenings. It's pretty well known to many of the grounds crew that work throughout the airport and can sometimes be seen 2 or 3 nights in a row. It frequently appears in the same general area, hangs around for about 5 or 10 minutes before disappearing. Well, one night, about the 4th of July of 2020, I was outside overseeing the unloading of a plane when myself and a group of 4 people all saw what looked like a large person with wings fly over us. It was about 20 foot above us and flew right over with very little sound. It looked basically as I said, a large man about 6 feet tall with a very large pair of bat-like wings. It was solid black, so much so that it stood out against the sky and lights of the airport. It was over in a matter of a few seconds, and people joked that we had just seen the Mothman, and the conversation quickly turned to the many sightings that people have had in and around the airport of something similar. I've had multiple encounters with UFOs and their occupants that have been ongoing for the last 2 years. I've seen what I can only describe as aliens on at least 8 occasions, both at work and home. See, it all started back in 2018. It was around May, and I looked up into the sky as I was moving from one building to the next and saw a large circular object that was giving off a green glow. It hovered slightly about 100 feet from the ground, and as I looked up at it, I got the strange sensation that the object, or something in it, was looking back at me. Well, I picked up the pace and tried to get in the building, but the closer I got to the door, an overwhelming urge came over me to stop and look up at the object. It finally got too much to bear, and I stopped about 20 foot from the door, and I looked up just in time to see the object slowly drift away and higher into the sky. It continued its upward trend for about 10 seconds before it simply disappeared from sight. Now, my first encounter with seeing one of the aliens happened a month later. I went to the office to get a set of extra keys that were needed to access a storage locker. The office was dark as the people in it had all left the sometime earlier. I went in, I grabbed the keys, and was walking out when something made me stop and look out into the hallway toward the stairs, and I saw what looked like a medium-sized man just looking right at me. Now, we looked at each other for what seemed like a minute before I turned away, and when I looked again, it was gone. Now, the freakout then came over me. It looked like what you see on TV. Gray skin, very large, black, almost insect-like eyes. Now, it had no lips to speak of, only a thin slit, and it was about 3 inches shorter than I am, and I'm 5'10". I must have sounded like an idiot, basically hyperventilating in an empty dark office, but within a few minutes, I had regained my composure. Surprisingly, I was not afraid, and have not ever sensed a reason to be afraid. They can look scary as hell, but I have never felt like I was in danger. I have since then seen them only from a distance, usually in the shadows or trying to hide and observe. I have sensed them at home, but have never given them, but have never seen them inside the house. I've caught glimpses of them looking in the window, but those were only momentary glimpses as they seemed to be able to anticipate me looking toward them and quickly just get out of sight. I have a dog who will bark at the window or the door unexpectedly at night as if he's trying to warn me, but when I go to look, I end up seeing nothing. I also have a cat, but if she's seen anything, she's not telling or is indifferent to the whole thing. Yeah, funny how cats are like that, right? I have only had one encounter with one at home where I've seen it, and that was the reason that prompted me to write you. It happened about a week ago. I had days off and was at home about 10:30 at night when my dog started growling and then ran toward the back door. As I got up and followed him, I saw that the backyard lights had been triggered and that standing on the back deck in front of the back door was what looked like the same alien I had seen the first time. My dog was going berserk and would charge to the door but stop short of hitting it and then back up again. It looked right at me before it took a step back and straight out disappeared right in front of me. Now, I didn't freak out like the first time, but I felt a little unnerved that it had come so close to my house and had allowed itself to be seen. And as before, I felt like I was in no danger, but I did feel like it was trying to communicate with me in some strange way. My dog stayed in front of the door growling for another 10 minutes before it came back to my room with me. I stayed up for a little while trying to make sense of what had just happened. That's when I got online and started looking up information about what had just occurred that led to this website and the reports of the sightings at O'Hare Airport. So that's how it started. And this is what I want to talk about, you folks. So this person has had these encounters not only at work, but also at home. This person also talks about seeing military vehicles, strange aircraft. So if, of course, this is, now I know this is how it's going to sound. I'm just throwing it out there, right? I'm playing devil's advocate. Let's just think about it this way. If you needed to control the narrative and you needed to control some place that something that flies could land, right? From away from prying eyes, and maybe it can go invisible. Maybe it can cloak itself. And then it can land, whatever it is, safely before anything's going to be finding it, whatever it is. You would either choose military bases or you could hide in plain sight. Maybe they're talking about the military. Maybe the military's, you know, working together with this whole airport thing, the shenanigans. Maybe that's what's going on. I don't know, but I find it very, very interesting that it almost seems to be common knowledge. If you start seeing these people talking about it, you go, it seems to be common knowledge that people are like, oh yeah, yeah, we've seen this thing two or three nights in a row, this diamond craft. People have seen the Mothman enough that they laugh about it. If you're working anywhere, this is a quick PSA, y'all. If you're working anywhere and seeing and hanging out around the Mothman becomes just commonplace, you might want to find another place to work. That sounds crazy, right? Or at least holler at me, right? Holler at your boy. I'd like to come meet the Mothman if y'all are going to be that close, right? But other than that, don't hang out there because I don't know that something good's going to happen from this. So I've got another one that took place by an air traffic controller. It says, I have worked at O'Hare International Airport for the last 7 years as a member of the air traffic control team, and in my time have overseen the flight operations in and out of the airport hundreds of times. Now, in my time, I have seen many strange things around the airport, but none have been as spectacular as the sighting I had back in July of 2020. I was working the late evening at the Tracon and had just walked away for one of our mandatory breaks. These breaks help us rejuvenate and also help us break up the monotony of what can be an otherwise tedious routine and also help prevent us from falling asleep. Now, during these breaks, I usually go out for a walk to help clear my head and a change of scenery. I was walking toward one of the terminal buildings when I noticed some movement out of the corner of my eye, and for some unknown reason, I stopped and turned in the direction of the movement and noticed a large black shape coming to rest on the ground near a light pole. Now, this thing was at least 6 to 7 feet tall and jet black. It looked like a very big bat, but was also very human-like in appearance. I noticed that it sported a very large and impressive set of black membranous wings that also looked like the wings of a bat. They were open to their full length and must have been at least 12 foot from tip to tip. Boy, I overshot that estimation, didn't I, y'all? Whew. The arms on this thing were very long and very skinny and ended in long, bony fingers tipped with what appeared to be long talons. The legs on the being were comparable with the arms, long and skinny, but I was unable to really look at the feet to see if they were also shaped similar to the hands. I stood there and saw this thing for about 30 seconds as it seemingly looked around the ground. In the time I was looking, no fewer than two others had come down the walkway, and they also saw it. If it had looked up, it would have clearly seen us all staring in bewilderment at it. It kept its head down, looking at the ground until an approaching service vehicle seemingly startled it, and it looked up. That is where I saw that its head was short and squat, but had a pair of piercing red eyes. It looked in the direction of the approaching vehicle and then began to flap its wings and took off into the air. It disappeared above the building in a span of 1 to 2 seconds and was gone out of sight. Now, I've heard many of the stories of the supposed O'Hare Mothman from pilots and from other controllers and employees around the airport. I've heard tales of people seeing it in flight or perched somewhere and how it had glowing red eyes and looked like a giant man bat. Many of my fellow controllers have told of either seeing it themselves or hearing from others who have seen it, and it has been the subject of radio chatter on multiple occasions. I've never gave much credence to these stories, and even though part of me believed and hoped it was real, seeing it myself only helped me become a true believer. I personally know of 3 other controllers who have had sightings of this thing, and just as many pilots who have either reported sightings in and around the airport. You can say it's kind of built up an almost legendary urban tale sort of status amongst those who work at O'Hare. I know that what I saw was real, and I want to get my story out there for others to hear, and I want them to know that this thing really is out there somewhere, and that trained professionals like myself have seen it and know that it does exist. I hope you'll find my report useful. And if you wish to contact me, I'd be willing to answer questions regarding this encounter. I'll probably do a follow-up because Manuel has contacted a lot of these people and done follow-up reports with them. And it is It's eye-opening. I'm telling you, if this is all on the up and up, folks, there is something definitely going on that people, again, are just maybe actively ignoring, or maybe you just don't really want to know. Here's another one that a bus driver, shuttle driver had. It says, "Hello, my name is Redacted, and I work as a shuttle bus driver at O'Hare Airport. I was working on April 21st, 2021, near the new parking terminal near Zeminke Road about 6 p.m. I was staged and had wandered away from my bus to take a smoke break when I saw a large owl fly over the top of the building and disappeared behind the parking garage." Here we go with the cigarette smoking again, y'all. "It must have been at least 30, 40 foot off the ground when I saw it fly over. It made no sound and looked like a giant black thing with very large wings. I saw it for all of 2 to 3 seconds as it flew overhead and over the building and out of sight. I didn't see it again, and I saw nothing else when I drove around the other side after starting my route again. I know of the stories of the Mothman that is seen around O'Hare, and that is why when I saw your reports that I decided to write you and tell you about that. So again, not really sure, but knows that it looked like a large black thing with large black wings and could tell that's probably what it was. 2 or 3 seconds. If you have a horse run by you in 2 or 3 seconds, are you going to be able to tell me it's a horse? You know, you could tell me the shape, right? You had something fly by. Yeah, you could probably tell me different sizes. It looked this size, looked that size. And I know we always, you know, we always talk about the fact that it's hard to judge size in the sky because of scale. And it truly is. But sometimes you just know, right? Like you just know, like that's big. It's almost like a sixth sense. Like it's what kept you to stay alive all these years and through your DNA is like when you just sense danger. Maybe that is like another thing. You just know how big it is. You can just tell. That's the unnerving feeling, like I feel threatened. So I've got another one here about a Chicago Department of Aviation employee at O'Hare. Says, "Good afternoon. I wanted to relate a possible sighting of the Chicago Mothman that I had on April 15th, 2021 at approximately 9 p.m. at Chicago O'Hare. I initially was not going to report this and had kept it to myself for fear of something thinking I had lost my mind. I'm sorry, someone thinking that I had lost my mind and was seeing things, which is a very, very valid thing. I mean, this isn't something you want to just let go, right? Like you gotta, this is definitely one of those safe space things before you start just talking about this. That changed when I read the sighting that was posted on Facebook about the gentleman who had the Mothman sighting not even 2 blocks from where I work. The sighting prompted me to look up the sites and eventually find this place to send these stories. I work for the Chicago Department of Aviation at the office located on the airport grounds. I've worked there for about 9 years and have had previously worked at the airport in another capacity for 5 years prior. I know the airport like I know the palm of my hand, and I've heard the stories that people tell about all the strange going on that happened with surprising frequency. My sighting happened after I stayed late to catch up on work and had left about 9 p.m. As I walked out of the building into the parking lot, I heard what I could only describe as wings fluttering, kind of like you hear when a bird is going to take off or land. I dismissed it. It's just geese, as the airport was literally hundreds of them that hang out around doing whatever geese seem to do. Poop on things is what I think geese do most of. It's what they're the best at, it seems. What followed was a loud screech, nothing like a goose's honk, but a very, very loud, ear-splitting screech, like what you hear when a train's applying its brakes, but it was different as it went from a higher octave to a lower octave and then higher again. I know it was not the train, as the tracks are on the other side of the airport, about 3 to 4 miles away. I continued walking toward my car when I heard the screech again. It sounded like it was coming from behind me. I turned and looked toward the trees over by the road and saw what looked like 2 red eyes looking right at me. I stopped there looking at those eyes for what seemed an eternity. I couldn't move. And it felt like the air was being sucked out of my lungs, almost like I was having an asthma attack. I saw this thing emerge from around the trees. It was illuminated from behind by the warehouses that were across the road, and it must have been 7 or 8 foot tall and was solid black. About this time, a large truck was coming down the road, and it shot into the air and was gone in a matter of a second. I stood there for a few seconds, still too afraid to move, when I finally came to my senses and practically sprinted for my car. Could not get into my car fast enough, and as I closed the door, I heard that screech again. I turned on my car and left as quickly as I could. I'm not one for over-exaggerations, but I felt almost as if I was being stalked. I felt sick to my stomach for 2 or 3 days after that encounter, and it took just as long for the feelings of paranoia to finally go away. It was the feeling of utter and complete hopelessness that disturbed me the most, and it helped contribute to my hesitancy of telling someone. I didn't even tell my boyfriend any of this until after I decided to send this to you. Well, there it is again, y'all. That it's there. It's for some reason interacting. I don't understand it. I don't understand this hotspot. I don't understand the different people, right? They keep seeing this thing. They keep going across this. All of these things happening. But this person feels the dread, feels the unsettling. Listen to this one, y'all. I got you another one that took place. It says here, I was working as a security guard for a local security company and was working at a construction area near O'Hare International Airport. I was just relaxing in my truck listening to a podcast. Sure hope it was Expanded Perspective, sir. It was about 1 a.m. local time, and it had been the usual quiet shift. My shifts there are usually pretty quiet, only the occasional homeless person wandering onto the site, or teenagers looking for a place dark to park out of the way. I was sitting there with the window open when I saw movement out of the corner of my eye that caught my attention. So I get out of the truck and went to walk around to see if anyone might have wandered onto the site. The construction site I was on was used to make asphalt, and there's a large grinder to crush rock down, and that's where I was walking towards when I again saw movement near the area where the dump trucks are loaded. I saw a very large, dark figure standing there. It was dark black, but had a pair of large, red glowing eyes. It stood at least 7 to 8 foot tall, and just remained there silently with a large pair of outstretched wings that it slowly flapped open and then shut. So I called out to it, and then shone my light toward it. And when the entire area was lit up in a bright whitish blue light, well, the light was so bright that I could see the equipment, and the lot as clear as the middle of the day. When I looked again, the figure was gone. And a really large boomerang-shaped craft, if you will, was moving away from the site. The edges of the ship had white lights on it, and it was only about 60 foot up into the air. It got higher as it moved away and then shot up into the sky and was gone in a fraction of a second. Now, I won't lie, I almost crapped my pants when I saw this. And then I ran back to the truck where I rolled up the windows and locked the doors. I was scared, very, very scared, but I stayed on post with the truck turned on and the headlights on until 5 a.m. when I left. I served 2 tours in Afghanistan while in the U.S. Army and have been in combat before, and yet I was shaken to my very core after this incident. I only calmed down when I saw the sky getting lighter as the dawn approached. But I'm sure that if it had wanted to hurt me, it would have done it, and there's nothing much that I would have been able to do about it. That's what I saw. I am 150% certain that what I saw was real and not a hallucination. I do not drink, and I have never touched a single drug in my entire life. I am not a religious person, and I don't believe in things like demons. But whatever this was, it was not human, and it did not belong here. I told my wife about it the next morning, and it was her who told me about the things being seen at the airport in the last few years and even showed me a place to send it. I'm not sure what I saw, but I hope my reporting this to all of you helps you in finding out what this is. Again, folks. Now there's a UFO picking up moth creatures, right? Dropping them off. They're hanging out. Could the Mothman... could this be one and the same with alien greys? Could this be alien greys taking the form of Mothman because it's all of a sudden not alarming people? I mean, aliens alarm people more than Mothman around the airport now. Like, what are they using this for, right? Like, how crazy is this? Here's you another one. at another construction site. March 5th, 2022, y'all. March 5th, 2022, 10 p.m. local time. I was out driving around with a guy I had just started talking to. We were out by the airport, just cruising around, listening to music and getting to know one another. We decided to park and smoke a little bud, and one thing led to another. We were in the back seat when he looked up and started screaming, "What is that?" over and over and over. It was then that we felt something bump into the side of the car, like when someone slammed onto the side of your ride. I sat up and saw a pair of bright red eyes and a big black body looking into the driver's side window, staring into the back seat. It scared both of us, and we both started screaming. This thing kept looking into the car, and then it just disappeared. A security guard showed up. Then two more show up. They made us get out of the car and started asking us why we were there. But after looking at us, they started asking us about what we had seen. We told them, and then they just screamed, "Get dressed and get home." So again, what the one guy was trying to keep hidden, they should have hired him. That way they'd keep those teenagers off those job sites. But another job site and another sighting and another thing of it just disappearing directly in front. I'm going to wrap it up with this one right here, folks. Listen to this here. Red-eyed chirping man bat. All right? You're going to love that. Lon hit me with this. He's the, him and Manuel, the king of humanoid flight, right? Get a load of this. I was at work Thursday night, April 28th, 2022. I had just brought back a man lift from a construction site that we had picked up and brought back to the yard. I had just driven the man lift off the trailer and was just about to get back into the truck to park it when I saw some movement from the back of the yard. I grabbed a flashlight and headed back toward the storage containers that are kept in back. I saw something on top of the container and I shined the light on it and asked them what the hell they're doing back here and that I was about to call the police if they didn't get out of here. I kept walking toward them and yelling when I heard a series of clicks, rapid fire clicks and what sounded like chirping. Now I'm a bit of a history buff and back in World War II, U.S. troops used to carry these clickers called crickets that they would use to communicate with one another. This sounded like those clickers, only faster and louder, but same pitch and tone. I was about 12 feet from the containers. I looked up and was met with a pair of red eyes that were staring directly at me. They were attached to what looked like a tall being that must have been at least 6 or 7 feet tall and looked like a giant man bat kind of thing. I lost it, started backing up while trying not to scream. This man bat was partially lit up by the lights we have around the yard. I tried to shine my flashlight on this thing and it started clicking at me and took off into the air. It took off toward the north. I practically ran back to the truck, got in and parked it. And I swear to God, I sprinted toward my car, which was parked by the main building where it was lit up by the street lights. Thoughts of something swooping down to attack me were swirling around my head. I got in my car and left, not stopping until I got home. Now, folks, that's a business literally a block down the road from O'Hare, where this all took place, right next door. These hot spots with these crazy sightings of Mothman have been going on steady up in these areas since 2011. There's definitely something going on. I hope you enjoyed those stories. Let's take a quick break. We're going to wrap it up. We'll get back here. We'll pry Big Fizzy's head open. We'll see what he thinks about the Mothman. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Are back.
Yes.
There you go. So, folks, like I said, we started with the Mothman and we started seeing these flaps, if you will, but it's not really a flap. It's been going on for almost 11 years, but it sure seems like intensity has been ramping up ever since then, right around the Chicago O'Hare Airport. I don't know why. I don't understand what's going on, but there's definitely something going on.
Yeah, there. I agree. I think we're actually living in a flap right now.
And that's what I said is like, but the problem is a flap you would think would take 2 months, 6 months, a year. This has started in 2011. Is when this started. 2011. Yeah. So we are already rolling into that amount of years. You know what I mean? Like we're 11 years into watching this stuff.
I think the Mothman is sticking around because no one's paying attention. Like everybody's too busy with American Idol. They're too busy with the war in the Ukraine. They're busy with Will Smith. They're busy with Amber Heard and Johnny Depp.
Just hanging out, Mothman?
It's like, hey, I keep showing up. No I'm one's paying me attention.
Yeah. I need some Mothman. Try to get some Mothman love. But what? Why would it be, in all seriousness, why would it be in one area?
I don't know.
Like, that's what's so strange. In an area that there's plenty of people, there's plenty of eyes, there's plenty of technology to catch it, and it's right there. Unless, like I brought up, unless there's something actively helping it hide or exist in that area. So I'm just going to leave it there, folks. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did.
Right. I don't have any answers for you. But speaking of something that's pretty scary, from time to time, we get these strange emails from people who have seen something they can't quite describe. Now, I don't know if this is a glimmer man, if this is something else, if this is revealing that we're living in like a computer simulation. I don't know, but check this out. This comes from James. It says, this story takes place when I was about 12 on my grandparents' farm in southern Missouri. We lived at the edge of the farm. Our house was surrounded by fields, and the nearest neighbor was about a mile away. It had been a warm fall day. The sun was starting to set. My friend and I had been playing around outside for almost all of it, as kids did back then. All of a sudden, my friend yelled, "What is that?" He pointed into one of the fields on a slight hill. Near the woodline stood this thing. It was completely white, at least 8 foot tall, and it looked pixelated, as if it had stepped out of an Atari game. Although not well defined, you could make out the arms, the legs, but no face. The white thing was walking around slowly, and then it began skipping down the hill towards us. Both of us were filled with fear and ran inside my house. We told my mom, of course, who did not believe us. I opened the door and yelled, "God is good," thinking in some way that this would scare off or whatever it was. As quickly as I opened the door, I slammed it shut. We retreated into my room for the night, playing Nintendo to get our minds off what we saw. Nothing else ever came of it, and I never saw the white thing again. But to this day, I wonder what in the hell it could have been. A pixelated man. Or, you know, I don't know if it's
like
man.
Like it's not fully downloaded, right?
Humanoid.
Yeah.
We've talked about these humanoid shapes from the, like, computer flat looking person.
Yeah.
Till we talked about like the stained glass from the movie.
The young Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. Young Sherlock Holmes.
The pixelated man though is a really interesting idea.
It is. But what could it be?
Like it's.
Is it like.
Caught in between?
Something like that? Or like it's supposed to be the Glimmer Man's costume, but his is like malfunctioning. Or he got the cheap version, right?
Right. His flesh jacket download messed up.
Right. I don't know.
There's so many. There's so many different strange things now that people are seeing that are they paying more attention to it?
I don't know. But this
is it just happening more often?
Yeah. And this happened years ago, of course. But is it a time traveler? Can you pay money in the future to come back and walk around? Because I know we've talked about that. I would love to go to like ancient Egypt.
Mm-hmm. But you would have to be invisible.
You'd have to be invisible, right. But like somehow this suit's malfunctioning.
Yeah.
He's not truly invisible.
Yeah, the whole thing's not quite working right. Man, I don't know. That's very interesting. Thanks for sending that in.
Yeah, very, very, very cool. If you have any stories of your own, please share them with the show. ExpandedPerspectives@yahoo.com. Mm-hmm. You can also call the show 888-393-BRUD. That's 888-393-2783. And let's not forget about our sponsor, Lumi Labs Microdose Gummies, available nationwide. What's the code?
Microdose.com. Make sure you use the code EXPANDED to get free shipping and 30% off your first order.
Excellent. Excellent. You're going to really like it, folks. That's about all the time we have for this episode. Till next time, be safe. I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.